Welcome to MTG Pro Tutor, your gathering of insights, tips, and advice from renowned players and community icons. Connect with venerated teachers to gain the knowledge you need to improve your skills. Now, here's your planar guide and personal tutor, Sean Penrod.
Hello, and welcome back. This is episode 292 of the MTG Pro Tutor Podcast. Sean Penrod, your host here, so excited for our guest. But before we dive into the interview, thank you. Thank you so much to you for tuning in and listening. I would not do the show without you. I really appreciate you listening to the show. It means a lot to me. And of course, thank you to the patrons. You are the reason why this show keeps on going. Because of your support, we're able to keep this up and running. So thank you so much. And last but not least, Paragon City Games. Thank you for providing the prize support for our monthly giveaways, who I will be announcing the winner of June here shortly, as well as the bundles to the winner of the Seal League that we do once a set. So ParagonCityGames.com is where you can check out what they have going on there. So there's been a lot of fun stuff going on in Magic. We've had some Grand Prix. We've had some Grand Prix that just happened. We have some Grand Prix coming up. It's just been a really good time to be a Magic player and see what's going on, what's shaking down in the different formats. So I hope that you're keeping your finger on the pulse and knowing what's going on. I definitely look forward to hearing about you and your events and how you've been doing and what you've been testing and all that good stuff. You can connect with us on the Facebook group, of course. mtgpro2.com/Facebook group is where you can find that. And seriously, post what decks you're playing, post what events you're going to, and then how you did afterwards. We love to stay connected and figure out what's going on. Now, as I mentioned, we have a giveaway winner that I'll be announcing here at the end of the episode, so stay tuned for that. And if you are interested in throwing your hat in the ring and being considered for a monthly giveaways, you can go to mtgpro2.com/Patreon, where anybody at the Bed of Plants level or higher gets considered each and every month for our monthly giveaway. So again, for those of you who are already patrons, thank you so much for your support. And for those of you who want to be, that's how you can find out more, mtgpro2.com/Patreon. And it means the world to me that you support the show directly. Thank you so much. Now, without further ado, let's bring in our guest, sit down and talk about Magic. What's up, everybody? I am super excited to have our guest with us today. Our guest is stacking up his record with one Grand Prix top 8, one Nationals top 8, and a Pro Tour top 8 at Pro Tour Dominaria. Coming to us from Barreiro, Portugal, prodigies near and far. Let's welcome the one, the only, Gonçalo Pinto. Gonçalo, how are you doing today?
Hey, man. How are you?
Fantastic. Good. Thank you. Are you ready to delve into your mind and share with the audience some tricks to take the game to the next level?
Yeah, let's do it.
Excellent. Prodigies, if you want to connect with Gonçalo, you can do so on Twitter. He's at UMadBroMTGO. So that's U_MadBroMTGO on Twitter. So that's where you can find him there. Very cheeky, I can tell. And follow him, say thanks for being on the show, ask him a question, but that's how you can connect with him. And Gonçalo, we would love to learn about you outside of Magic. So out there in Portugal, is Magic all you do? Are you working? Are you a student? What do you have?
No, I work. I'm a digital marketing analyst.
Really?
Yeah.
How so? Like you analyze ads or like what do you do?
Yeah, I run some campaigns and I analyze some other campaigns, which the offices around the world, because my company has offices around the world. Mm-hmm. They send me the data and I'll just gather it and make it easier for them to understand. And that's it.
Cool, man. I love that stuff. I'm into digital marketing myself and that's what I do.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I love the podcast and I love, you know, practicing the stuff that I learn, you know, here in the podcast and just learning how that whole world works. It's very fascinating. So that's cool. Very cool. So did you go to university for that or you just kind of grew into that?
Yeah, I did.
You did? Excellent.
I actually graduated from management and then I took the master's in marketing.
Okay.
And so it's kind of recent that I'm delving into marketing, just 1 year. But yeah, it's been great.
So where'd you go to university?
In Lisbon, Ixcté. It's a nice university in Lisbon.
Cool. And in addition to Magic, are you a football fan at all?
I am.
All right. I am. Are you following the World Cup at all?
Yeah. I mean, Portugal is not playing so good, but at least we have the best of the world that can resolve some games.
Hey, and America didn't even make it to the World Cup. So, you know,
at least you got
something going for you. At least you got a team.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's a lot of fun. So we love to learn the origin story of our guests. And we would love for you to take us back in time and use a story. Tell us what it was like to be there. And we want to hear about the first time that you saw or played with Magic cards.
So I started when it was Stronghold, the most recent set, and I bought boosters and I then realized that I couldn't do anything only with the boosters.
All right. So you just walked into the store and said, I'm going to buy that right there? Like, how did you even know what to buy or to
test? Yeah, because
that?
my older friends were telling me about this strategy game, mm-hmm. and I was big into Heroes of Might and Magic on the computer.
Yeah.
And it seems like, you know, elves, centaurs, and this kind of stuff. So I just went to the shop and bought some, like, one or two packs that I can't remember. But then I realized that I couldn't do anything other than looking at the pictures because I didn't even have lands. You know? So I then asked some friends, what should I do? And I bought Starter from 5th edition, mm-hmm. and I went from there.
Nice. Do you remember any, did you get any cool rares back in the day that you remember?
Did
you
I did get a Ball Lightning.
Ah.
Which I got traded from like Crawl Worm or something. So
you traded your ball lightning for a Crawl Worm?
Yeah, my Ball Lightning died to a Thunderwolf.
Yes,
It sucked, right?
Right. Yeah. So funny how we think those things back then.
And the other was a 6/4, like super big.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Crawl Worm. Ah, that's so fun. I like Stronghold. That whole era was really good. Like story wise, you know, kind of got me in and stuff like that. So that's really fun. Cool.
Yeah.
So you came in back in the Stronghold era and some friends were into the strategy game and you liked fantasy already playing Heroes of Might and Magic. I remember playing that game too. That's really cool. What's been your favorite set?
I liked Ravnica, the first one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about it did you like? You like the guilds or?
Yeah, because when Invasion was around, I wasn't playing too much competitively.
Mm-hmm.
So when Ravnica came, I already did some drafts and it was the first multicolored edition that I drafted.
Yeah.
And it was really, really challenging and it was really, really cool that we can like mix two colors, we can do it with three, we can even like play with five colors. So it was kind of deep from what I was used to at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I really enjoyed it.
Cool. Now, if you lived on Ravnica, what guild would you be part of? So not what guild do you play or is competitive or whatever, like which one would you actually be part of if you lived there?
I don't know. Maybe I have I don't remember which pro tour, but I got a pin, you know, like the,
yeah.
I think it's called a pin in English. Yes.
Yeah.
Thing, that to put on the clothes, mm-hmm. from Azorius.
Ah,
so
okay.
I've been defending those two colors.
There you go. Blue, white, Azorius, like law and order, the greater good and stuff. Awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
I like that. That's cool. What's one of your favorite cards?
So my favorite magic card is Ninja of the Deep Powers.
Ooh, okay. Like, so for those of us who don't know, what is it? What does it do? And why do you like it?
So it's a 4-mana 2/2 that when it deals damage, you draw a card. But it has ninjutsu for 2. So it means that when you attack with an unblocked creature, you can return that creature to your hand and cast it for the ninjutsu cost, attacking.
Huh.
So it was a part of my favorite deck at the time on Magic Online. I remember I played it so much. It was a Jeskai deck with Izamaru's and Savannah Lions and Ninja of the Deep Powers and Septushant with Alex's and everything. So it was kind of a mess, but it was so fun to play. And Ninja of the Deep Powers was my favorite card there and my favorite card so far.
That's neat. Cool. So you attack, and if it goes unblocked, you pay 2. You slam this guy in, and then he hits for 2, and you draw a card.
Turn 2.
Good.
It's awesome.
Very good. That is good. That is very good.
It plays a lot in Pauper, actually, I think.
Oh, yeah, because it's a common, huh?
Uh-huh.
Ninja of the Deep Hour. Man, that is really, really neat. Yeah, that's cool. First time anyone's mentioned that one. It was fun to hear your story and look it up and pretty cool picture. This guy jumping over a wall. That's nice.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love everything about the card.
Yeah, good stuff.
I mean, it draws cards. It's aggressive. It returns creatures to your hand that then you can like do something with the when comes into play effect.
Oh, yeah. You can return an ETB card. Yeah. Wow. Yep. Good stuff. So then you mentioned one of the reasons why you like Ravnica because you started to get competitive. And so I kind of wanted to hone in on that time. So, you know, everybody starts out playing like, you know, fun, goofy magic, stuff like that, trading, you know, Ball Lightnings for Crawl Worms and stuff. Okay. But then, you know, we get to a point where it's like, hey, like there's more to this game and I want to dive in a little bit deeper. And so What was that competitive transition like for you? Tell us about that time. And then what did you struggle with when you decided to take magic more seriously?
So I remember my first PTQ was Invasion Block constructed. And I actually didn't do so bad. I was like 4-2 or something at the time, which was really cool.
Yeah.
But then after that, all the PTQs I've played was like I was crushed. You know, and I was getting crushed and I was, you know, trying to get better. And then Magic Online came and I could start practicing there and get crushed there, but then go to the real life tournaments and do a little bit better. And yeah, so
you started
the transition.
Going...
Yeah, I'd say that the transition was when I started playing Magic Online, you know, like more hours of Magic Online.
Yeah. So why were you getting crushed, you know, before you started playing more Magic Online? Was there something looking back that you can recognize now that you kind of struggled with?
Yeah, so I didn't practice too much with the decks. So I just got the deck lists online or with, I mean, there wasn't even too much information online, but we could get some deck lists already, like on the dojo or something.
Yeah.
But because I didn't play enough with the decks, I would just go to the tournaments and sometimes played my first round of the with the deck on that tournament. So, and it wasn't clearly enough. Then we go to the sideboard and I don't even know what to do. I don't even know what my opponent's deck does. So I would just get crushed. But, you know, like I said, then you start playing Magic Online and you can play much more games before you go to the tournaments. And yeah, at the time you start knowing what you can do and what you should do, mm-hmm. and the results come.
So I definitely fall in that category. Definitely have in the past, and yeah, still now, depending on the meta and things like that, of not knowing what my opponent's deck does and not knowing how to sideboard and stuff like that. So how did you get better at that? How did you face that? You know, you started playing more Magic Online and you start learning more of your deck, but how do you get better at knowing what your opponent's deck is supposed to do and then therefore how to sideboard?
So you should read a lot of articles. Mm. I mean, there's plenty of content right now. So I try to, you know, every time I know the next tournament I'm going to play, for example, it's Modern, it's GP Barcelona. I try to read as much articles I can on Star City Games or Channel Fireball on TCG Player about Modern. You know, I can just ignore the others, you know, because the time is limited and you can only read articles a day. Yeah. And at least I try to read all the Modern articles, even if it's not a deck, even if it's a deck that I know that I'm not going to play. I just read it and you know, because it's interesting to see how those decks approach the metagame as well. You can take some ideas from there. So yeah, and then you get paired against that deck and you know what that deck's doing.
I love that. And I was gonna ask this question, but you answered it. So, you know, one, I love that you've identified your next event. Hey, this is the next event I'm going to. And then you're like, and you know what? I am reading and consuming content about that particular format and I'm ignoring everything else. And that's what I was going to ask. And I'm glad you mentioned that because that makes so much sense. Like, hey, you know what? Magic's not going anywhere. If you don't read the standard articles right now, guess what? By the time you go to your next standard event, there'll be articles for you to read then. You don't need to read everything now. You just,
Standard, it evolves
a lot. So quickly. So you don't need to be reading standard articles now if your next event is a Modern one because you really need to get up on Modern. So I love that. I think that's great. So what's my next event? What format is it? And then I'm going to focus on that. So where do you go? Like where are your best content places that you turn to?
Yeah, it's definitely Star City and Channel Fireball. Also, if you, in this particular case, I try to watch some streams. Gabriel Nassif is playing a lot of Modern recently, so I've been trying to watch his stream whenever I have the opportunity. Like, you know, watch live or sometimes if I have some time, watch some videos from him.
So your next event is a Modern event. You've said that and you're studying Modern, stuff like that. Have you already chosen a deck?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, okay. I mean, Yeah. Last weekend, I was only undecided between 5 decks.
Okay.
So today, it's like a few days from the event, and I pretty much know what I'm going to play. I will be probably playing Mardu Pyromancer. So yeah, now it's the phase that I try to play as many games as I can, you know, to try to sideboard well and try to know how the deck operates at the best that I can. And yeah.
So how did you decide on that deck? So as of this recording, GP Barcelona is this weekend. When your episode comes out, it would have been last weekend. So good luck or congratulations, I guess. But anyway, so last weekend, as of this recording, the weekend before the event, you had 5 decks in mind. All right. Here we are a couple days out and you've narrowed it down. Tell us about that process, you know, so like, how did you, you know, you're considering all this content, you narrowed it down to 5 decks because there's a lot in Modern. From those 5, you narrowed it down to 1. How did you walk through that and decide what you're going to take to a Modern event?
So this is not a great example because it's Modern. So in Modern, you can basically play whatever you want and you can either be successful or you can just get crushed. Because Modern, I don't know. I mean, many people love this diversity thing, mm-hmm. but I'm not a big fan of because, you know, it's like some rounds, you can have the best deck for that tournament. You can have the best 75 for that tournament, and it's still not enough for you to get some enough percentage points to do well in mm-hmm. that tournament, if you understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Because there are so many decks and so many strategies that you cannot beat. You can decide whatever deck you want, but some decks you cannot just beat and get crushed because of the pairings. There's nothing, not much you can do. Mm-hmm. So when I had the 5 decks, I played a few games with each deck, and this is the one I like to play the most. So
okay, that's cool. And how did you get to those 5? It was just the 5 that were doing well based on what results or articles you were reading, or how did you even get down to those 5?
Yeah, because so the 5 decks, let's start from here. So the 5 decks were the KCI deck, because Matt Nass just won two Grand Prix actually with it.
Yeah.
It was Black Green Infect, because it has Pyrexian Crusader, which I think is really well positioned right now. Humans, because Charlie is Antonio Del Moral Leon is a friend of mine, and he's winning a lot with it, and he's a Modern expert, and he told me that he's going to play it. So it's if someone understands Modern, it's him. So I should at least listen to him. The Mardu, because Marcio, also a good friend of mine, says that it's probably the deck that he's going to play. And Burn, because from all the decks, I think it's the one that it's well positioned. If you can be well positioned in Modern.
Yeah. If you can, then it's that one. So yeah. I love that. So you're facing an event that's coming up. In this example, we're using Modern. And I love how the deck selection, you trusted other people, you know? So that's something that, you know, it can be very intimidating to face a format and be like, oh, what do I play? Well, hey, you know, Magic is not a solo sport, right? There's other people who play this game. Like you turn to your friends, right? You have like, you know, you have one, you looked at past events. All right. Somebody just did well at 2 events with this deck. That's on my list. You have a couple friends. Okay. I have, you know, friends that I trust that play Modern. They say this deck, they say that deck. And so I'm going to look at these. And so that's a great way to remove the overwhelm and just say, all right, I'm going to focus on these decks. And then, like you said, you went with the one that you enjoyed playing the most, because again, in Modern, that's kind of how it is, right? You play the deck that you enjoy the most, and you're going to get paired against what you get paired against, and good luck, you know?
Do your best.
So yeah, I think that's a great way to whittle it down, especially with a format like Modern, where it's like, oh, yes, I could be so overwhelmed.
You cannot even afford to play all the decks, because all the decks are good, you know? Like,
right.
Yeah. There are like 20 decks that can win the tournament. I mean, not even joking. It's 20 decks that you can just play and win the tournament.
Yeah. So make your pool off of results and the advice of trusted friends. pick the one that you like playing the most, that you have the cards for, right? whether between borrowing or your own collection or whatever.
Yeah, I
and then go for it.
Very good collection of modern.
Good,
so
very
I
good.
Have pretty much all the decks of modern.
So oh, look at you.
It's awesome. I mean, probably it was a part of a problem that to have five decks available to, you know, the week before.
Yeah. So everyone's journey through Magic has ups and downs along the way, and I know that you're no different. So we would love to hone in on two stories from you. The first one being, what has been your worst Magic moment, and what did you learn from that experience?
I don't think I've had a worst Magic moment, you know, because, you know, when you start, it's about the competition, but then, like me, I play for like 20 years already or even more, yeah? So it was Stronghold, it was a 97, so yeah, 21 years. Yeah. So it's not even about the competition anymore. It's like about the friends you make, you know? I just like to go to the tournaments, hang out with my friends, you know, travel to the GPs, travel to the Pro Tours or whatever, just... It's like going on a small holidays with them. You know?
Yeah,
it's
so really true, fun. Right? So true.
So even if you don't do well, usually it's a great weekend. You have at least someone does well and you be happy for them, you know, like.
Yeah.
So, but I told this when I top 8 at the Pro Tour. I mean, I've played and this was the 9th Pro Tour, if you count the World Magic Cup. And I only day 2 the first one, you know. It was like... In 2005 or something, it was I played the first Pro Tour and I day 2'd, and then all the other Pro Tours I didn't even day 2'd. So it was frustrating at some point, you know.
Yeah.
That, you know, I know that I'm amateur, you know, I play competitively, but I know that I'm not yet in the Pro Tour level. I mean, at least on the top of the Pro Tour level. But I knew that I wasn't bad enough to not day 2 so many Pro Tours in a row, especially now that it's like you need 4-4 to day 2. It's not even a winning record. And it was getting frustrated. I was getting frustrated at some point, you know, like trying to understand what I was doing wrong. And but.
What helped you on that journey? So it's like, hey, what am I doing wrong? How did you explore that and how did you overcome that?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know. I still... prepared with the same guys, the guys from the Brazilians, and like I always do. I'm fortunate enough to know Vili Edel and Marcio and Carlos, and they always invite me to play test with them when I qualify. I did the same, I guess. I mean, I guess this time I was much more motivated with my constructor deck because I had just top 8ed the Grand Prix, but. Other than that, I don't know. I try to play my best all the time. And
excellent. So the flip side, obviously, are highs. What has been your proudest Magic moment?
I mean, this past month was insane, yeah?
Yeah.
So I top 8ed my first Grand Prix. And then like 2 weeks after, I top 8ed the Pro Tour and go all the way to the finals. It was unbelievable. You know, even though that's... I lost because I didn't play well, and it's still going to haunt me for a while, but still I played well previously, you know, to get there. I didn't play bad all the time. I played sometimes. I mean, I guess most of the time I played really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, congrats. So that is so cool. Yeah, you should be. That's neat. How many pro points do you have this season?
I have 35 now.
Yeah, I mean, crushing it. So that's that's good for several like Pro Tour invites.
I'm gold.
That's gold, right? Yeah. Man, so congrats! That's great.
Yeah, thanks, man.
That's really cool. That's really cool. And you already said your next event is GP Barcelona as of this recording. That's cool. What else do you have lined up for the year?
So I will be playing the Team Pro Tour.
Nice.
And then the Pro Tour Atlanta. And I don't know, the European Grand Prix, I'll try to go. But because I've spent most of my holidays, I don't know how I'm going to do. I'll probably try to find a flight on Friday night and return on Sunday night or maybe Monday morning before going to work.
Just so you can be at work on time. That's funny.
Yeah. So, yeah. But at least the Grand Prix Barcelona and two Pro Tours I will be playing this year.
Good for you. Now, as you've sat across the table from players all over the world and all around the world and just seen a lot and learned a lot and on the computer as well, what would you say is the biggest mistake that you see players make?
Well, one, it's probably not playing enough with your deck because, you know, if you go to the tournaments and you don't even know how your deck works, you are probably not going to do well. And also because of that, you don't even know how to approach the, you know, the matchup in the best way. So I think probably not playing enough with your deck. It's the biggest mistake.
And that's an easy fix. Play more, right? Like,
yeah,
get on Magic Online, you know, get some friends over, like just play more.
Yeah, because sometimes you don't know how you miss some interaction or something. But if you play enough, that interaction will come and you will learn it. And you will know that that interaction exists. And when you'll be playing the tournament, you know. So
what's your favorite format?
I don't know. Booster draft?
Oh, yeah. You like draft. Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
I like draft.
So, hey, what's working in draft right now? This is kind of cool. We're doing this recording now. This is going to come out, you know, relatively close to the recording, so this won't be completely outdated. What are you seeing in draft? What are some of your thoughts? What are you liking? Just tell us a little bit of your thoughts on draft.
And dominated drafting?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so the red aggressive decks are my favorites.
Yeah.
Especially Wizards. It's by far my favorite deck. If Wizards doesn't work, I like the Boros or something that has red.
Something that has
and,
red.
and run amoks. Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's, and you know.
Why? Why is red working for you? Why is it well positioned?
Yeah, because it's, people think that, and they might be correct in thinking that the format's slow, but it's not that slow, you know? If you play it a turn 2 bear and turn 3, 3-2, and then when they block, you have run amok and play something else, they're just so far behind that it's really, really difficult to recover. So I'll try to capitalize on that, on people thinking that the format is super, super slow. Playing man.
Ah, there he is.
Yeah.
There's the dog. Yeah. That's funny. We were talking about, oh, I hope the dog doesn't bark during the show. So there it is. Cool.
Yeah.
Sorry. Got it. So I love that perspective where it's like, hey, people think that this format is slow. Rightly so, because it's slower than other formats. But you're taking that and saying, okay, if everyone's thinking that this is slow, I'm going to go get all the fast cards. And while they're setting up, I'm going to kill them.
Yeah. And yeah, especially because, for example, the red cards, you don't even need that many good cards, you know. You just need 2 drops and 3 drops, and it doesn't matter, you know. It can be like any pair, it can be any 3 drop, it can be any 4 drop pretty much, you know, the 4/3 that you discard and draw a card. It can be the Cyclops. It's all right, the Cyclops, you know. It's, so you will never end up with a train wreck. So I think it's, if you don't if you didn't draft enough, if you go with that strategy, that cannot go really wrong.
Love it. Oh, that's good stuff. Man, that is good, good stuff. So where did the name UMadBroMTGO come from for Twitter?
Yeah, so back in the day when we the groups were in IRC, it's the, you know, do you know what it is?
No, I don't.
IRC, it's the Merc? I don't know. Okay, maybe let me write it. How old are you, by the way?
31.
So you should know this.
I should know this.
You know, it's the chat that is behind the Twitch chat, for example.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, yes. So yeah, we had channels and we had to decide the nickname, and my nickname was Medkit. You know, it was the bad guy from the Inspector Gadget.
Yeah.
I thought the nickname was cool, Medkit and everything. And when I started playing Magic, you know, because I was in the group and the people knew me by Medkit, and they still know me by Medkit. Everybody in Magic calls me MedKit. But at some point, people start calling me only Mad. And then when I created the Magic Online account, I was like, you know, you mad, bro. Because
yeah.
It was the meme and everything.
Yeah, the thing. Yeah, the meme. You mad, bro.
That's cool.
There you go.
And the best part is when people start whining on the chat, I can just put a question mark and that's all you need.
Ah, that's funny. It's question mark. And then so it says, you mad, bro, MTG, question mark. That's good. I like it. Sweet. Well, Prodigy's out there. You want to connect with Gonzalo. You can do Gonzalo, excuse me. I keep wanting to say a Z, but it's an S. Anyways, if you want to connect, you can find him on Twitter at UMadBroMTGO. The letter U underscore mad underscore bro underscore MTGO. So Gonzalo, as we kind of turn the corner here and start wrapping things up, what is one final piece of advice that you have to leave with us? Either something you already said that you want to emphasize or something new you want to leave with us here at the end?
Yeah, so one good thing that I think it's been helping me a lot, not only me, but also my friends. So if you want to improve, you should definitely do that. You have Skype, you can, if your friend's playing, just tell him to share the screen. You don't even need to say anything. You just need to, watch somebody else play the game, then try to question why did he decide to do that or why he opted for not doing the other thing. And you, even if he's right or wrong, the discussion that it provokes, it's just really, really, really helpful, because you'll get like many other perspectives that you don't know when you're playing alone and by yourself. So if you have the opportunity and if you have Magic Online or your friend have Magic Online, it's like, tell them to share the screen, share some ideas. It's awesome.
Love it. Gonzalo, I want to acknowledge you for your contributions to the multiverse, and thank you so much for your time and for sharing your amazing experiences. This past couple of months have been great, and it's so fun to tap into that a little bit. You are a hero among planeswalkers. It's been a blast chatting with you, and I wish you the most success so we can bring you back on the show and talk some more. It's been great.
Thank you so much.
May you never be mad or screwed. Always draw what you need and depart every plane victorious.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, Mr. Gonzalo Pinto, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. Absolutely loved having you here. Best of luck in your upcoming endeavors and prodigies. You know where to find the show notes. mtgpro2.com/Gonzalo Pinto is where you can find synopsis of what we talked about, as well as a link to any resources that may have been mentioned. Now, as I talked about at the top of the show, we do have a winner for the monthly giveaway for patrons only. And I have to announce that the winner of the June giveaway is Mr. Jake Travis. Jake, congratulations. Thank you so much for your support of the show. It really, really helps out a lot. We'll be getting in touch with you directly to send you a Dominaria bundle. So again, congratulations, Jake. Thank you so much for your support. And Prodigies, of course, if you want to win a prize here like Jake, then go to mtgpro2.com/Patreon. And anybody who supports the show at the Bed of Plants level or above will be considered for a prize each and every month. So thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you get out there, play some magic, and report back. Come to the group and let us know what you're playing, where you're playing, and how you did. Absolutely love to connect with you in that manner. So thank you again for tuning in. Until next week, I am Sean of the Gathering, and we will see you in the next cast.
This round of MTG Pro Tutor is over. So you don't miss a single episode of MTG Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to the show on your preferred podcast listening service for more exclusive interviews, deck building tips, and elite content. Or visit mtgprotutor.com to stream it straight from the source. We look forward to helping you think and play like a pro.